All right, Dawson, good morning. Let's begin. So we left off, today's daf is daf dalet, but we left off on Gimel Amud Beis. So if you remember, again, we were dealing with the interesting discussion regarding the size of an amma for a particular thing. So remember, again, we had the statement of Abaye, who said in the name of Rav Nachman, that when it comes to a sukkah and mavui, we use an amma that's made up of five tefachim. And for kilayim, in terms of the situation of mixtures within a vineyard, we use an amma that is made up of six tefachim. So the Gemara assumed that lemaisa, what that really means is we use the amma that yields the greatest chumrah in each different circumstance. So we left off five lines up from the bottom. Vaha ikar ritzufim. So the Gemara proved before how using a six tefach amma by kilayim creates a chumrah, but the Gemara now points out where it yields a certain leniency. So the Gemara says va'ikar ritzufin. Rabbi will say, look at Rashi. Va'ikar ritzufin. Gifanim ritzufin shesmucha shura l'shura yos tami mashe nasnucha chamim shir. So both say, what's interesting is in halacha there are shiurim for everything, including the definition of a vineyard. So what's the definition of a vineyard? When you have rows of vines, there is a requisite space in between each vine in order for it to be considered a vineyard. So, for example, the Rashi says, "Shem ein bein shur l'shur dalet amos, eino kerem." So, for example, there has to be a minimum of four amos of space in between each row of the vineyard. Hoil ve'eino kol tzarcho v'hilu chagala u'murta l'zrua b'kulon. Okay, so now what it's saying is like this. In order for a vineyard to be a vineyard, so it's not just enough to have vines, you have to have vines that are in a certain formation. And the formation is a minimum of dalet amos in between each vine. What happens if you don't have dalet amos in between each vine? Then I will say, lemaisa, that's not called the kerem. That's not called the vineyard. If it's not called the vineyard, then what? You'll say yourself, who cares? It makes a big difference. Because if it's not called a vineyard, then all of the strictures regarding how much you must distance, let's say, grain or vegetables from the vines, is radically different. It's only in a kerem, only in a vineyard, that you have all of these stringent distances. Without a vineyard, you have to keep a distance, but it's a much smaller distance, a couple of tefachim. So therefore, the Gemara points out over here that if you're going to end up using an amma of six tefachim, this actually results in a kula. Why? Because again, the chumra would be a smaller amma, because a smaller amma would then create an easier definition for a kerem. The easier definition for a kerem then creates the strictures regarding distance. Now that you're going to use a larger amma, by definition that's going to result in a kula, because again, it will be harder to make a kerem. Harder to make a kerem means more relaxed standards in terms of distancing. So the Gemara says, there is the issue of contiguous rows of vines that require a minimum distance of four amos, that by using a larger amma it will yield the kula. This nan, kerem hanatua apachos me arba amos, if you have a vineyard that is planted and there are less than four amos in between the rows, Rabbi Shimon Omer eino kerem. Rabbi Shimon says it's not a vineyard. Bechacham rom kerem, the Chacham say it is a kerem, vo roim. Asma and soim ki ilu einam. And the Chachamim would say, the Chachamim don't disagree that you need dalet amos of space. The Chachamim would just say that you would view the middle, rows as if they do not exist. So the Gemara says the following. It could be kirabanan de amri havikarem. So therefore the statement of Abaye, the name of Rav Nachman, could work very well according to the Rabbanan, who says it is a kerem. V'bayis emali olam Rabbi Shimon v'rov amos kamar. Or it could even be Rabbi Shimon, and we'll say, what is the Gemara saying? That yes, we use an amma of six tefachim by kerem, and in most cases that yields a stringency. Except in this particular case over here, where it yields a leniency. The Rava Mishmei de Rav Nachman, Rava Nimi Rav Nachman said, everybody has a Gemara? Dr. Goldberg, you have a Gemara? You're good. Richard? You have a Gemara? Good, everybody found? Okay. So now the Gemara says the following. The Rava Mishmei de Rav Nachman, Omer, Kol Amos Ba'ama Ba'ashisha. So Rava comes along and says the name Rav Nachman, that no, in reality, all Amos use a six tefach measurement. Ela halalu shochakos v'halalu atzavos. Aye, so what is the only variable when it comes to Amos? If you measure with a loose tefach or a tight tefach. What does that mean, Abu Zayn? that in halacha, a tefach is really a hand's breadth. So you know that when you go out and you measure a hand's breadth, you could keep your fingers tight together, or you could keep your fingers loose apart. So Rava wants to suggest that everyone agrees that you always use an amma that is made up of six tefachim. The only difference is that sometimes the tefach is what we call a tight tefach, and sometimes it's a loose tefach. I will say, just lemaisa, the practical difference between the two is quite minimal. But nevertheless, when it comes to shiurim, it's still going to make a difference. All amos that the Chacham spoke about were always using six tefachim. Now, we'll say mechuvanos means exact. Now, we'll see exactly what that means. Exact sounds like that as long as you don't use the same measurement in every single case. So we'll say, now just understand what we have over here. This is quite exciting. So we have a fundamental machlokes in terms of what type of amma you use in measurements. According to Abaye, different amos, different situations. Right, when it comes to mavoi and sukkah, we're going to use an amma that's made up of five tefachim. When it comes to kilayim, we're going to use an amma of six tefachim. According to Rabbi, no. We always use an amma of six tefachim. It's just sometimes we'll use a tight amma made up of tight tefachim, right? Sometimes we'll use an amma made up of loose tefachim. So now we have a braisa that says an amma is always made up of six tefachim, except that those tefachim are not always exact. So the Gemara says, Bishlam al Rabbi ki echid la havyon halalu shochos v'halalu atzavos. So according to Rabbi, this braisa makes sense. Why? Because according to Rabbi, what the braisa is saying is, what does it mean when it says it's not exact? It means that sometimes you use loose amos, loose tefachim, sometimes you use tight tefachim. Just by the way, look at the last Rashi on Gimel Amud Beis for just a moment. Rashi says, Halalu shochakos, amos kilayim modedin b'tefachim gedolim. So according to Rava, you would use loose amos, what he calls shochakos, loose amos when it comes to measuring the vineyard. V'shal sukka v'shal mavoi atzavos mitzumtzamos l'chumra. And when it comes to sukkim mavoi, you would use a tight amos. So according to Rava, the braisa makes absolute sense. That's what it means that it shouldn't be exact. You always use an amma of six tefachim. Just sometimes it's an amma made up of loose tefachim. Sometimes it's an amma made up of tight tefachim. However, el abai kasha. But according to Abai, it's going to be a kasha. Why? Because according to Abai, there sometimes you don't use an amma of six tefachim. According to Abai, sometimes you use an amma of five tefachim. So what does it do with the braisa? Amr lecha Abaye, ema amos kilayim ba'amos bas shisha. So Abai says no. Say that the braisa means like this, that the braisa says whenever you're dealing with kilayim, remember we'll say kilayim are forbidden mixtures in a vineyard, whenever you're dealing with kilayim and discussions about distances, one type of object from another, you always use an amma of six tefachim. That's what the braisa is saying. Not you always use an amma of six tefachim, in kilayim you use an amma of six tefachim. So the Gemara says, but one second, v'hami diktani seifa. But if you look at the end of that braisa, Reb Shimon Amiel Omer, Kol Amos Sha'amru Chachamim B'Kilayim Ba'ama Bas Shisha. But yet the end of that braisa explicitly says what? That Reb Shimon Amiel says that any Amma, all Amos, that the Chachamim said when it comes to Kilayim, we're talking about, we're using an Amma of six tefachim, O Bilvad Shelo Yehu Mitzum Tzomos. As long as, now we'll say normally Mitzum Tzomos means exact. Over here, Mitzum Tzomos actually means tight. So here you have at the end of the braisa where Rav Shimon Gamliel comes along and says that when it comes to kilayim, you use an amma of six tefachim as long as they're not tight tefachim. Nichlau de Tanakama kol amos ka'amar, which would seem to indicate what Rav was saying, that the Tanakama, the first part of the braisa that we quoted over here on the bottom of Amud Beis, is talking about all amos in general. That all, according to the Tanakama, all amos are amos of six tefachim, just some are shochakos, some are atzavos, which would then pose a kasha, according to Abaye, who wanted to say that in some cases we use five tefachim for an amma, some cases we use six. So which the Gemara says, Omelech Abaye, so Abaye says, V'lav mi'ikar Reb Shimon Gamliel v'koi kavosi. So Abaye says, leave me alone. Leave me alone, you make it sound like I'm a pariah over here, I'm the only guy who holds this way. You just said yourself, Reb Shimon Gamliel also holds this way. Ano da amri, Kirib Shimon Gamliel. So Abaye says, I hold the Kirib Shimon Gamliel. Okay, fine. Listen, the Gemara says, La Abaye Vadai Tanoyi. So we'll say, according to Abaye, this is a machlokes tanoy. So we'll say, according to Abaye, and therefore in Abaye, this is a machlokes tanoy in terms of how you measure amos. how you measure amos. So according to, remember, in Abaye's view, you have a Tanakhama who says you always use 6 amos. Just again, let's say for kelayim, you'll use shochakos, which means loose tefachim, and for mavoi and sikkah, you'll use tight tefachim, but it's always an amos of 6 tefachim. According to that's the Tanakhama. According to Shimon Gamliel, you'll use, let's say, a 5 tefach amma by mavo in sukkah and a 6 tefach amma by kilayim. So according to Abayi, the whole way you measure at amma is machlokes tanoi. However, according to Rava, is it a machlokes tanoi? Amr lecha Rava would say the following: Reb Shimon Gamliel ha'asa la'ashma inon. Amos kilayim lo yitzamtzeim. So interestingly enough, Rava wants to suggest that maybe this is not a machlokes tanoim, and maybe when Rav Shimon Gamliel made his statement that it's an amabas shisha tefachim, all Rav Shimon Gamliel is coming to teach us that what is that when it comes to amos kilayim, you should not use a tight, you should not use a tight amma, but rather you should use a amma made up of loose tefachim. Look at Rashi. Ha'as lashma'inan amas kilayim lo yitzamtzeim. Ulefirushe milsa de tanakama hu da'asa velo lene'ute shar amos mibashisha. So Rava makes a very interesting suggestion. Rava says, no, maybe Reb Shimon Gamliel is not arguing on the tanakama. What is Reb Shimon Gamliel coming to do? He's coming to elucidate. He's coming to explain the shita of the tanakama. The tanakama says all amos that we use have to be what? Have to be 6 tefachim, as long as they're not all mechuvonos, as long as they're not all the same. And comes on Rav Shimon Gamliel and says, what? Let me give you an example. That when it comes to kelayim, yes, we use an amma of 6 tefachim, but what? They should not be tight tefachim. So according to Rava, you don't have to say that Rav Shimon Gamliel is arguing. He could just be simply coming to explain the Tanakama. So Gemara says, okay, but if that's the case, v'lema, amas kelayim lo yitzamtzeim. If that's the case, then just let Rav Shimon Gamliel make that statement. That when it comes to amas kilayim, you should not use a tight amma. But amma bas shisha limiute mai. So we'll say, why does Rav Shimon Gamliel have to make that statement again, that it should be an amma of 6 tefachim? Right? Meaning we've accomplished that already. The Tanakhama said that already. So if Rav Shimon Gamliel is not coming to argue, and he's only coming to elucidate, then why make that statement again? So what is it coming to exclude? My love, limiute amas sukkah, the amas mavui. Is he not coming to exclude the amma used for a sukkah and the amma used for a mavui, and to teach us that in his view, the amma for a sukkah and amma for a mavui are made up of 5 tefachim? To which the Gemara says, lo, limiute amma yisod, the amma sovev. It is coming to go ahead and exclude an amma of the yisod and the amma of the sovev. Now, also, I handed out sheets today. Getting a little ambitious in Erevin. I've never done sheets before in Daf Yomi, but since Erevin is so easy, I think we have all this time to be able to do diagrams. So just so you can see, I took 2 pictures over here. The top one is actually from the Art Scroll Gemara, and then the middle one is, those of you who have this Daf Yomi version of the Gemara, this is from one of the pictures in the back. So just so you see what we're talking about over here, there is the Yisod and the Sovev. The Yisod is the bottom base of the Mizbeach. I just gave you two different views. And the Sovev is what they call over here the ledge above that. So the Gemara now is suggesting that Rav Shimon Gamliel said that an amma has to be 6 tefachim. He's saying that is true by every other case. That's true again by Sukkah. That's true again by Mavui. That's true by Kelayim. Because remember, according to Rava, Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't argue on the Tanakhama. He actually agrees with the Tanakhama. So then what is he coming to exclude? He's coming to exclude the Mizbeach case, where in certain parts of the Mizbeach, let's say by the base and by the ledge, by the Yisod and the Sovev, you're going to use an Amma that is made up of 5 Tefachim and not 6 Tefachim. Let's see where he sees this from. So the Gemara says the following. Dichsid. So now he quotes over here the Pasuk from Yechezkel. So the Pasuk says the following. Ve'eila midos ha-Mizbeach. These are the measurements of the Mizbeach. Ba'amos, in Amos. Amma, Amma, v'tovach, v'cheik ha-Amma. So literally, this is the measurement in Amos. An Amma and an Amma and a Tovach. Tovach means a Tefach. V'cheik ha-Amma. At the base of the Amma, or the base is an Amma. V'amma rachav, one Amma wide. U'gvula el sfasa soviv zeres ha-echad. And now gvula means its border. Sfasa means to its edge. Soviv all around. Zeres echad is one, is literally one span, which represents half an amma. V'zeh gav ha-mizbeach. And this is the top of the mizbeach. Chek ha-amo. Chek ha-amo. So now the Gemara Darshan says, I'm sorry. So, good. V'zeh gav ha-mizbeach. Chek ha-amo. Zeh yisod. V'amo rochov. Zeh sovev. So when it says the base is an amo, that refers to the yisod. You could reference back to all the pictures. See, you see that Rav is suggesting over here that according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the height of the base of the mizbeach was one amo, and that height was measured with an amo of 5 tefachim. The amo rochav, and again one amo of width, ze sovev. That refers ultimately again to this ledge where the protrusion was one amo measured with 5 tefachim. Ugvula el svasa soviv ele hakronos. And again, and its border to its edge all around, that refers to the kronos, that refers literally to the corners, which in this picture over here, they call the horn. Those are the protrusions on the top level of the mizbeah. And again, elu hakronos, v'zeh gav hamizbeach, zeh mizbeach hazov. And the top of the Mizbeach, that refers to the golden altar, the incense altar, that was inside the Kodesh. So Rabosai, according to this approach, Rava wants to suggest that Rav Shimon Gamliel is not arguing on the Tanakhama, not arguing on the Tanakhama at all, and agrees ultimately that when it comes to all other areas of Halacha, Sukkah, Mavui, Kilayim, we're going to use an Amma that is 6 tefachim. The only difference is that sometimes we'll use a tight tefach, sometimes a loose tefach. And Rav Shimon Gamliel comes along and says that these are 6 tefachim, coming to which tells us that there are other things that are only measured with 5 tefachim. He's specifically coming to include the cases of the mizbeach. That in certain parts of the mizbeach, when measuring with an amma, we will only use an amma of 5 tefachim. Okay. So this, obviously a pasuk like this was based on a mesorah of this pasuk. You're right, meaning the words themselves are not conclusive about what size of the amma is. What Rav is saying is, this was the mesorah, this was the tradition as to how to darshan the pasuk. That it was a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that they were talking about 5 amos. Not halacha l'moshe m'sinai, excuse me. It's not halacha l'moshe m'sinai. That this was the mesorah about how when they actually built the Beis HaMikdash, that these are the actual measurements. Alright, so the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rav Chiya bar Rav Ashi, Amar Rav. Alright, so we'll say now we get into a very interesting sugya. So, Rav Chiya bar Ashi said the name of Rav. Shi'urin chatzitzin u'mechitzin halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So, interestingly enough, the Gemara says that Shi'urin, and we'll see, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says Shi'urin, shenasnu chachamim l'chol dover. So, Shi'urim that Chachamim gave for all things, Kizayis Dam, Chelev, Pigol, this idea, so when he says Shi'urim, let's assume for right now what he means is a Kizayis. So, when we say that there are certain things, for which you have to go ahead and the Shi'ur is a Kizayis, Chatzitzin. Chatzitzin means things that are interpositions, right? Things, specifically when you go to a mikvah, bless you. The idea that Halacha L'maisa, you can't have anything interrupting between your flesh and the skin. U'mechitzin, and the definition of a mechitza, all of these things are halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Okay, so the Gemara says, also remember, halacha l'moshe m'sinai represent this whole body of law that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, that were not recorded in the text, but that ultimately were passed down from Moshe to us. So the Gemara says the following. Shi'urin, da'oraisu. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Shi'urin are not a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. But in fact, Shi'urin are Doraisa. I will say, Halacha L'moshe M'sinai also has the status of Doraisa. What does the Gemara mean over here? The Gemara means that they're explicitly stated in the text. So the Gemara says, where do we get Shi'urim in the text? Dichsev is a fascinating Gemara. Eretz Chita U'Sa'ura. Right, so the Pasuk by the Shiva Samin. So the Torah says, it's a land. Chita, wheat, Sa'ura, barley, gefen, grapes, vines, Te'ina, figs, Rimon, pomegranates, Erez, Zeis, Shemen, Udvash. Shemen over here is olive oil, refers to olives, and Dvash, the honey over here in the Pasuk, is date honey. Right? Date honey refers to tamarim. V'amrav Chanan kala Pasuk hazel shiurin ne'emar. And Rav Chanan said this entire Pasuk teaches us shiurin. How so? Ne'emar chita. What's the halachic ramification of chita? L'chidisnan, as the Mishnah says, hanichnas labayis hamenuga. If someone walks into a home that has been afflicted with tzaras, and also remember, not only people, but a home could contract tzaras as well. So let's say a person walks into a home that has already been declared tameh by the kohen, then what? V'kelev al ksefav, v'sandalav v'tabaosav biyadav. And let's say he's carrying his clothing on his shoulder, literally, right, his clothing on his shoulder, sandalav, his shoes, and his rings in his hand, hu v'heim t'meim miyad. He and the clothing become tamei immediately. Okay? However, hayalavush kelav v'sandalav biraglav. However, if he was wearing his clothing, and his shoes were on his feet, and his rings were on his fingers, hu tamei miyad, he, meaning his person, his flesh, becomes tamei immediately upon entering the home. V'hein tahorin ad sheyishev v'chdei achilas pras. And however, his clothing does not become tamei until he lingers in the home long enough to eat achilas pras. And I will say, what is achilas pras? Take a look at Rashi. Pras, Rashi says, is dalet beitz, the volume of four eggs. Hein mazon su'uda beinonis. This was considered to be, I guess, what we call today, like a snack, a light meal. Lashon prusa shishi aruha bechatzi kikar ha'amar be'eruv. Deba'inan mazon. So again, pras, literally Rashi says, comes from lashon prusa, which means a half. So kedei achilas pras was the volume of a Talmudic half a loaf. So if he lingers in the home long enough to be able to eat this half a loaf, his clothing would become tamei. But what type of loaf? Pas kitin, velo pas seorin. It's the amount of time that it would take him to eat half a loaf of wheat bread and not barley bread. Rashi points out over here because you could eat wheat bread faster, I guess because of the quality. You could eat wheat bread faster than you can eat barley bread. Mesav, but the amount of time that it would take you to eat the half a loaf of wheat bread, reclining. Ve'ocha beliftan, and you eat it with liftan. Liftan is like a condiment, right? You go and you eat it with a relish, with something to help it go down faster. So that's again what the Gemara learns out from Chita. Chita teaches us that halacha l'maisa, the amount of time that you have to linger in a house with saras for your clothing that you're wearing to become tamei is the amount of time that it would take you to take kedei achilas pras of a half a loaf of wheat bread. Sa'ora. What do we learn out from Sa'ora? Disnan. Etzem ki sa'ora metamei b'mago b'masa. If you have a bone fragment the size of a barley kernel, that is able to convey tumah through either touching it or through carrying it. Ve'eno mitame ba'ohel. However, again, a bone fragment the size of a sa'ora will not convey tumas ohel. So if you are under the same roof with the bone fragment, that will not convey tumah. In order for tumas ohel, you need something more substantive of the mace. Gethen. What do we learn out from Gethen? Kedei revi'is yayin l'nazir. We learn out from there that halacha l'maisa, a nazir, Rashi says, only gets malchus if he drinks a revius of wine. Amud beis teina. What do we learn out from teina? Kigrogeres mahotzas Shabbos. Teina teaches us that on Shabbos you're only chayiv for hotzah if you go ahead and you carry out the size of the grogeres. Rashi says is he teina yivesha. We learned about this. Remember this extensively from Shabbos. This is the size of a dried out date. Rashi says, and again, when it comes to, let's say, measurements for food, how much are you carrying for Shabbos for food? It's the size of a grogeres. Fine. Rimo, what do we learn from pomegranate? Kidisnan, as we learned, kol klei balibatim shi'ur nikarimonim. For all kelim of balibatim, the shi'ur is of a pomegranate. What does that mean? Look at Rashi, you're both like, it's actually in the Rashi grogeres, it's in the second line right after the two dots. Balabayis chas al kelov. Now the assumption is that a balabos is very careful with all of his utensils. Right? He doesn't just stand and throw something out. Therefore, im nikav kimotze zayis, matznia legos. And therefore, if a balabos has a pot or has a utensil, and the utensil gets a hole the size of an olive, so what does he do? He won't use it for olives, he'll use it for walnuts. Right? What happens if he gets a hole the size of a walnut? He'll use it for something bigger. And this goes on and on and on and on, until the hole reaches the size of a pomegranate. Once the hole reaches the size of a pomegranate, the assumption is the utensil is not really usable for much. So also what this means is, remember, if you have a utensil, if you have a kli that's tumming, the way it loses its tumma status is if it loses its functionality as a kli. At what point in time does the kli of a balabos lose its functionality as a kli? When it has the hole the size of a rimon. So that's what we learned from rimon. Eret zeis shemen udvash. It is a land, leave out vash for now, but it is a land of shemen, it's a land of olives. Eretz, shekol shi'urea kizesim. it's a land who all of its measurements are like a kezayis, like an olive. Kol shira sagdaitcha, all of its measurements. Vaha ikahani da amran. Hi, but what about all the ones we just mentioned? Right, all the ones we just mentioned clearly are not again kezayisim. So the Gemara says, Ella ima eretz sherov shira kezayisim. Rather, it means again a land for which most shiurim are kezayis. Dvash, what do we learn from dvash? Kikoseves hagas al yom kippurim. From dvash we learn out that halacha l'maisa on Yom Kippur, you are chayef for eating the amount, the size of a large date. Large date. So Rabosai, again, if we stop over here, what the Gemara wanted to suggest was the following. The Gemara said that all shiurim, which is what we just spoke about before, are halacha l'moshe misinai. So the Gemara says, it's not halacha l'moshe misinai. We have a pasuk, right? The pasuk by Shivas Haminim teaches us all of these shiurim. So why would the Braisa say that it's halacha l'moshe misinai? To which the Gemara says, no, come on. V'tizbira, shiurim michtav ksivi. Okay, you made a very nice drasha, but the Torah didn't write any of this stuff, right? All the Torah was simply writing was what? Was the Shivas Haminim, was the seven species. You went ahead and used each of the species to go ahead and latch it to a particular shear. But Allah said this was not written in the Torah. Rather, Gemara says, you're right. Ella, hilchasaninu, you're right. Rabbi said, all of these shiurim that we just read in this previous Gemara, these are all halachos l'moshe misinai. These were all given over to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Rather, what? Vasmichinu rabbanon akroi. And Chazal went ahead, Asmichin Rabbanon Akroi means that sometimes either when you have a halacha l'moshe misinai, or for that matter, even sometimes when you have a din d'rabbanon, the rabbis like to attach halacha l'moshe misinai to a pasuk. So this pasuk of Shivas Aminim is not talking about the shiurim. This pasuk of Shivas Aminim is talking about Shivas Aminim. But once we have this halacha l'moshe misinai, Chazal like to latch the halacha l'moshe misinai to a pasuk. So in fact, the opening statement of Rav Yehudah Ash, the name of Rav, that Shi'urin are halacha l'moshe misinai, indeed still stands. Next, chatzitzin. So I'll say, you remember, number two in the Mishnah was that the concept of chatzitzin. Chatzitzin, remember, means, a chatzitza means something, a barrier. So a chatzitza means something that interrupts between your body and the immersion in the mikvah, which could invalidate the immersion. So chatzitzin, da'oraisaninu. So the Gemara says, I don't say that chatzitzin are not halacha l'moshe misinai. They're da'oraisa dichsev, because the pasuk says, v'rachatz es bisaro b'mayim. Torah says, you should wash your flesh in water. Shelo yehe davar chotzeitz bein bisaro l'mayim. That there should be nothing that interrupts between your flesh and the water. So that's how the Gemara darshens it. Rechatz is you should wash your flesh, which means it has to be your flesh that comes into the water, and it can't be anything interrupting between your body and the water. So here you see. So I'm sorry. Shelo yehe davar chotzeitz bein bisaro l'mayim. So here we see that the concept of chatzitza is not a halacha l'moshe misinai, but in fact what? In fact, daraisa, to which the Gemara goes out to drasha, bimayim, what does it mean in water? The mei mikvah, not just any water, it has to be water, mikvah water, kol besoro, mayim, shekol gufa olabahin. Furthermore, you have to be able to immerse all of your flesh, which means that a mikvah must be the minimum amount of water that you could immerse your entire body in. Vikamahin, and how much did Chazal say you need in order to ensure that you could immerse your entire body? Amo al amo berum gimel amos. Literally, one amo by one amo by three. So three cubic amos. Three cubic amos has to be the minimum size of a mikvah. Vishiuro chachamim me mikvah me so'o. And the Chum said that the amount of water that you can go in and fit into three cubic amos is approximately 40 sa'a. So I said, just so you get an idea as to what that is. So again, and all of these shiurim, there's always machlokes, right? There's machlokes with teva, machlokes with ama, machlokes with sa'a. But today, let's say halacha l'maisa, what we usually use is a shiur of 200 gallons. That's usually what we try to use is a shiur of 200 gallons for a basic mikvah. Obviously, these shiurim are on the side of extreme caution. But again, halacha l'maisa, that's what we say, minimum of 3 cubic amos that holds 40 sa'a, establishing 40 sa'a at 200 gallons. The shiurim...
When the Gemara says the Chachamim made it 40 sa'a, is it just that they made the calculation.
Correct, correct, correct. Because again, all that's happening over here is the Amma Alama Berum Gimel Amos, and the Chacham said that should be, you should put in that would be 40 sa of water. Now, the truth is that you can actually get away with less than 40 sa of water in 3 cubic amos. But again, Chazal, in order to ensure that one does not run into any kind of problems with the mikvah, said that the minimum share for the mikvah is 40 sa. V'shiura Chacham Mikvah Mem Sa. So we'll say, again, so what has the Gemara just done? The Gemara has just shown us that the halacha of chatzitza, and I will say, all of this was just additional information about the size of the mikvah. Again, remember what we're focusing on over here is chatzitza. So the point the Gemara just made is the laws of chatzitza, I learned that from a pasuk. Torah says, v'rachatz bisaro b'mayim. You will go ahead and wash your flesh in, or immerse your flesh in the water, which indicates that what? It has to be your flesh that goes into water. There can't be anything else interrupting. So the Gemara says, that's not halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It's mefurash pasuk. To which the Gemara says, no. Ki itzrich hilchasa. When do you need the halacha l'moshe m'sinai? L'sa'aro. When it comes to one's hair. What does that mean? Ukid rabba barafuna. Do'am rabba barafuna. Neima achas kshura. Chotzetzes. So Rava said the following. If you have one hair and the hair is tied in a knot, that causes a chatzitza problem. That causes ultimately a barrier, an interposition problem. Why? Because Rava said the assumption is that when one hair is knotted, the knot could be very tight to the point that water may not access certain parts of the hair that are tied. However, Nema achas kshura chotzetzes. Shalosh. Three hairs tied together will not go ahead and pose the chatzitza, because the assumption is that the knot will not be so tight so as to preclude water from entering in. Shtayim in yodea. This is interesting. Sarah Barafuna says the truth is two. I don't know. Is two like one or is two like three? I don't know. So the Gemara says. So we'll say, therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over here is that that's where the halacha l'moshe m'sinai comes in. The halacha l'moshe m'sinai tells us that what? That chatzitzos also apply to hair. That even in one's, not just b'sar, not just one's back. Because remember, b'saro means flesh. I would have thought maybe chatzitza only applies to flesh. Kamashon, the halacha l'moshe m'sinai says that what? Chatzitza even applies to hair as well. So the Gemara says, sa'aro namita oraisa. But even the concept of chatzitza applies to hair is also the oraisa. Disanyo, v'rachatz es kol b'saro. So I will say again, in general, S is always l'rabos. The word S always comes to include something else. Just like kavid es avicha, the S imecha. So the S comes to include, the Gemara says, achicha, godlo, you have to respect your older brother. So S always comes to include. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting, v'rachatz es, because the Kohen Rakhir just said, v'rachatz b'saro. Why do you need the S? The S comes to include something else. What does it come to include in this case? S hatofa l'b'saro. That which is secondary to the flesh, v'zehu se'ar. And that means hair. So once again, we see that halacha l'moshe, halacha l'maisa, right? Even the din of chatzitza is learned out from a pasuk, not from halacha l'moshe m'sinai. To which the Gemara listens to this, and this is fascinating. You're right. Ki asoy hilchasa. When does the halacha l'moshe m'sinai? What does it teach us? Lerubo ulamiuto. For a chatzitza that goes ahead and covers the majority. Now, Rabbi say the Gemara wants to frame this over here as talking about hair. But the truth is, this is true for everything. This is true for hair and this is true for one's flesh. For a chatzitza that covers the majority of the body or a minority of the body. L'makbid. L'shein makbid. Rabbi say makbid. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Makbid alav. So it comes to talk about a chatzitza that you're makbid. So makbid means something that you are particular about that you would not want there. And she'in makbid means something that you don't care if it's there. Uchid Rabbi Yitzchak. Then Rabbi Yitzchak said it's very important. Dvar Torah. Mida oraisa. Rubo umakbid alav chotzeis. Rabbi said mida oraisa. The only type of thing that causes an actual chatzitza situation is something that satisfies two criteria. Number one, rubo. It covers the majority of the body. And number two, makbid. Makbid means what? You don't want it there. Only if something covers the majority of the body and you don't want it there, that is d'oraisa chatzitza. However, v'she'eno makbid, I'm sorry, dvar Torah, rubo makbid, I love chotzeitz. V'she'eno makbid, I love, eno chotzeitz. And therefore, again, technically speaking, even if it covered a majority of the body but you did not care about it, it would not be a chatzitza. However, the gazru al rubo she'eno makbid mishum rubo hamakbid, the al mi'uto hamakbid mishum rubo hamakbid. So I'll say, listen to this. So we came along and we were gozer what? We were gozer on a case of rubo, of the chatzitza that covers the majority of the body, even if a person is not makbid on it, out of a concern that one may come to allow a chatzitza that is rubo umakbid. Similarly, we went ahead and also were gozer on a chatzitza that was mi'uto hamakbid, only covered part of the body, but one is makbid, mishum rubo hamakbid, in order that one not come to confuse that with the case of roven makbid. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, v'ligzar nami al mi'uto she'eno makbid, mishum mi'uto makbid, inami mishum rubo she'eno makbid. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, then why don't you be gozer on a chatzitza that's mi'ut she'eno makbid, right, on a minority of the body, and you don't care about it, lest you come to these other things. To which the Gemara says, no. He gufa gzeira va'anum v'nekom v'nigzar, I'm sorry, va'anum nekom v'nigzar gzeira gzeira. So the Gemara says, this is already an gzeira. We're not going to add on an additional level to gzeira. So we'll say, this is a very important halacha. What this is saying is like this, mid-da'araisa, the type of chatzitza that is invalidating is what we call ruba umakbid. Covers a majority of the body and you don't want it there. What the Gemara is suggesting is this is what the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim teaches us. Because again, the fact that there's a chatzitza on the body, that's in the pasuk. The fact that there's a chatzitza in hair, that's in the pasuk. So what is the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim? That what is the definition of a chatzitza? It has to be rupo umakbid. It has to be the majority of the body and one is makbid, one wouldn't want it there. But lemaisa, and this is what we're not going to have a chance to get into it today, but this is what I quoted for you on the sheet over here in letter C. This is from Yerden, from Hilchos Nida, in Siman Kof Tzadik Ches. This is indeed how we pass in Halacha Lemaisa, not just in the Doraisa, but in the secondary levels also. That's why Halacha Lemaisa, if a woman has a chatzitza that is rubo uve'eno makbid, covers a majority of her body, even if she doesn't care about it, that's not really the common case. The more common case is miut ve'eno makbid, where again, a person could have a situation of, miut umakbid, where a woman has a situation of, again, where, let's say, covers only a small part of the body, but a woman is makbid on it, a woman would not want it there, that, in fact, does cause a chatzitza for tevila in a mikvah. So these halachos are still very pertinent today, not really for just general tuman tara, but certainly for taras hamishpacha, certainly for tevila, for nida, where the issue of chatzitzos is a very significant issue, whether it be with stitches, whether it be with press-on nails, a whole variety of different things that cause, now, that's why, again, when a woman does a chafifa, a preparation for going to the mikvah, she has to comb out her hair. She has to actually be very, very meticulous in combing out her hair. Why? Now we see. Because halacha lemaisa, even knots in her hair could potentially cause a chatzitza, that would be a doraisa chatzitza, which could potentially, chas v'shalom, invalidate the tevila, which could, of course, have very serious ramifications. So lemaisa, that's the halacha lemoshe misinai by tevila. A few more lines, then we'll stop. Mechitzos. The last case of halacha lemoshe misinai was the case of mechitza. So the Gemara says, Mechitzos, doraisa ninhu. So the concept of Osana, what we're saying over here is that the concept or the dimensions of a mechitza, of a barrier or a partition, are halacha lemoshe misinai. The Gemara says, not halacha lemoshe misinai, they're doraisa. The Omer Mar, because Mar said, Aron Tisha, Vikapores Tefach, Hare Kanasora. Because Mar said, the Aron was 9 Tfachim, the Kapores was 1 Tefach. That is Asar Tfachim, that's 10 Tfachim. So we'll say, what does this have to do with anything? So here's what's interesting. If you take a look at Rashi, just quickly, Rashi says, Aron Tisha v'kaporas tefach, Aron gofa tisha tfachim d'chsiv, amo v'chitzi komaso. The Torah, when speaking about the Aron, says that the Aron was 1.5 amos tall. And we'll say, this segues back to our previous sugya. What's the definition of an amo? An amo is 6 tfachim, right? So 1.5 amos means that the Aron itself is 9 tfachim tall. And what happens? Uksividi barti itchami ala kapores. And again, the lid itself was 1 amma, which was 1 tefach, which makes again for a total of 10 tefachim. Now, why is this important for us? And now, b'tayim parakam in the sukkah, Rabbi Yossi Omer, li olam lo yarda shechina lemata me'asara. Rabbi Yossi says, the shechina never descended within 10 tefachim of the earth. Why? Tichsiv, ha-shomayim, shomayim la-Hashem, v'ya'aretz nasan livnei Adam, ולמטה מעשר תפוחים חושב ארץ דכסיב, ודיברתי איתך מעל הכפורס. אלמה עשר אהבי מחיצה, דלמעלה מעשר לא חושב לרשוס תחתיס, אלא רשוס אחריס. This is very interesting. So the Gemara puts together a number of different things. On one hand, the Shekhinah never descends onto the earth proper. Why? Hashomayim, shomayim la'ashem, V'ya'aretz nasan livnei adam. Very appropriate, right? For Rosh Chodesh. Right? So ultimately, again, the Shemayim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, the earth is ours. On the other hand, the Torah also says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe from where? From on the lid of the ark, from between the Kruvim. So therefore, the Gemara understands from this, therefore it must be that the minimum dimension of a partition of a machitza is what? Is the dimensions of the Aron. Because then what that would mean is that the Aron represents a partition, a partition between the earth and the heavens. So the Shekhinah was able to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from between the Kruvim, which apparently was still not considered Eretz, which means that the basic definition for a partition is what? Is Ten Tefachim, which is learned from the dimensions of the Aron. So the point the Gemara is making over here is that Halacha L'maisa, the laws of Mechitza are learned from the Pasuk, to which the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha L'Rabbi Yehuda D'Amar Amos Binyan Ba'ama Bas Shisha. Amos Kelim Ba'amos Bas Ba'amos Kelim Ba'amos Bas Chamisha. So the Gemara says, well, you know, this comes up according to Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda Rabosai, when it comes to the Amma used for building utensils, they only used a 5 Tefach Amma, which would then mean what? That the Aron was only 8.5 Tefachim in total. So the Gemara says, and therefore, again, you can say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's where the Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah comes in. Ol Rabbi Meir Da'amar Kala Amos Hayu Bebein Bebein Nonios Ma'ika L'Neymar. But according to Rabbi Meir, who says that all the Amos that were used were 6 Tefach Amos, what should you say? To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, Ki Asoy Hilchasa L'Gud U'L'Lavud U'L'Dofen Akuma. So what's according to Rabbi Meir, Inachinayim, so what's everybody will say like this. There is a Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah that teaches us about the concept of Mechitza. The question is, what does it teach us? What does it teach us? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it teaches us that the concept of a partition is minimally 10 Tefachim. 10 Tefachim in height. Where does he get that from? He can't learn that from the Aron, because according to his dimensions, the Aron was only 8.5 Amos, 8.5 Tefachim tall. So the Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, teaches us that the minimum shear of a Mechitza is 10 Tefachim high, which we'll see later on by Mavoi. According to Rabbi Meir, who can learn out again from the Aron that the minimum shear is 10 Tefachim, because according to him, that was the shear of the Aron. What does the Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah teach him? It teaches him all of these interesting halachos that we have by Mechitza. Good, Rabbi Osai, means extend. We will see that in the laws of Mechitza, there is the possibility to halachically extend a wall upward and downward, even though what? Materially, the wall does not go there. That's good. Lavud, we spoke about lavud. Lavud means that within, if you have a space of less than 3 tefachim between two objects, you can view that space as non-existent and closed. And Dofen Akuma, we just saw yesterday, was a special dispensation that even if you have a wall that goes up and like this, as long as there's less than 4 amos of space, the schach could be considered to the wall. And these would be the halachos, the Moshe Mishnah. So stop.